shout out to Jessie Kay, who invited me and my mom for dinner on Friday, and the conversation turned to the Sammy Marks House, which is in Pretoria and is the topic of our next segment. Are you looking for something to do this Sunday? Well, just outside Pretoria lies the elegant Victorian mansion known as Swartkoppies Hall, home to the Sammy Marks Museum. It was built in 1885 by Lithuanian-born entrepreneur Samuel, otherwise known as Sammy Marks, and the house offers a fascinating glimpse into colonial life, complete with silk-painted ceilings, ornate silverware, and sprawling rose gardens. Visitors can tour the 40-room mansion, explore beautifully preserved interiors, and enjoy activities like croquet or afternoon tea on the grounds. Now, with me on the line to discuss Sammy Marks, the man behind the legend, is David Sachs, the former Associate Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, author of many books and articles on South African Jewish history. David, thanks so much for joining us on The Home Run. Before I even go into Sammy Marks, the legend, have you visited the Sammy Marks Museum? And if yes, what struck you about it?
Yeah, I've been a few times, well, three times maybe. It's really one of my favorite places because of the setting and the scenery and the history of the place around it. I mean, there was a little battle actually fought on a little hill there during the First Anglo-Boer War, which is one of my interests. I think what struck me was it's a handsome mansion, but it's not lavish. You know, it's comfortable, cozy, but it didn't splash out to any huge extent. It's just a lovely, homely place with all kinds of recognizable things and items on display,
and certainly certainly a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
I know, absolutely. In fact, we had the local Jewish community organized a function there for the Jewish community and others to attend, a kind of a tribute to Sammy Marks, which I was invited to speak at. It was a lovely experience to be there, to actually stand on the stoop where Sammy Marks himself would have stood, and to talk about him and his life and all that he accomplished. Yeah, no, it's a lovely place. It's something everyone must go there at least once. It's a tea garden, and even two or three times.
Well, Marx, of course, arrived penniless from Lithuania, and he ended up a titan of industry. How did he make his money?
Well, he famously arrived with a box of knives. That was his capital. Let me just digress a bit about Sammy Marks. So, yes, he came from Lithuania, but he was very different from all the other the Jews who came out later from Lithuania, and that he arrived a great deal earlier. He actually went to the United Kingdom first. Somehow, he ended up there, and I think that's where he got married there. I think he's his father-in-law. And he was quite anglicized already, and he came out to the Cape in 1869. That's 13 or 14 years before the big influx from Lithuania really got underway. He was kind of a pioneer, and the amazing success that he achieved, I think, was one of the reasons why a lot of people in Lithuania and the greater Lithuania area were attracted by the idea of coming out to South Africa. Instead of the United States or UK.
Dave, do we have any idea why he chose South Africa?
No, I don't know how it came that way. Look, it was obviously the discovery of diamonds. He arrived shortly after that, and so it was that was mainly it. There were huge economic opportunities. He was staying in Sheffield at the time. And I think because a lot of other Britishers were, like Cecil John Rhodes, for example, all coming out. I think that was the main motivation. He came out to seek his fortune. And as I was saying, he arrived with a box of knives, and he sold them and used that capital to just start building from there. I think he probably started as a smos, as a kind of a traveling peddler. Yeah, but he was obviously a real visionary, and he got into all kinds of enterprises that all thrived. That came later. He went to Kimberley first.
What were his biggest contributions to the South African economic life at the time?
It's hard to say. It was in the mining, in all kinds of places, coal mining and later gold mining, the gold fields in southern Transvaal, the northern Free State, as it was. He was also very much involved in Barberton, you know, in the, what used to be the eastern Transvaal. That was a mm-hmm. gold mining town. He's basically founded the town of Vereeniging. He gave it its name. But he got into all kinds of things, you know, canning factories, glass, collieries.
You mentioned Vereeniging.
He had a whole business empire and was really one of the founders, one of the main founders of the economy of the what was then the old Boer Republic of the Transvaal, or the Third Afrikaanse Republic.
You mentioned Vereeniging and that he gave the town its name. Do you have any idea why he named it Vereeniging?
I think the name, what was it? It was the name of the enterprise. Vereeniging means, what does Vereeniging mean? It means a kind of coming together, coming together, union, basically. Then the name of the company founded had the name Vereeniging in it. So,
and then, of course,
South Africans and Urania Freistaatische Mineralen in Main Bove Vereeniging. I think it was the name. That's not Afrikaans, it's Dutch.
At least you're not testing my Afrikaans or my Dutch. He, of course, had relationships with both Paul Kruger and the Boer leaders. How was he able to become so influential and maintain the trust from both sides?
The Boer leaders and the British, you mean?
Yes.
On both sides. As I say, he was a very important figure in the economy of the Transvaal. He was, I think, a personal friend of Kruger, and a lot of Jews were. But he really was. When the war started, he did his level best. He did everything he could to bring it to a close. In fact, the peace talks were held at Vereeniging. The peace talks of Vereeniging. He was one of that brought the World War to an end. He didn't want to take sides. I think he was very much saw the destructiveness of the war for everybody, was instrumental. One of those instrumental in brokering the final settlement. As I say, it was in Vereeniging that the final peace talks actually took place.
And then when it came to the Jewish...
He had a political career as well. Yeah. He sat in the Senate for many years.
And his influence to Jewish life in South Africa?
That as well. He was a very proud, I think quite a secular Jew, but a very proud Jew. He was a very generous man. He gave to both non-Jewish and Jewish causes... To a huge extent, and he the old synagogue in Pretoria he donated the bricks for that, and also I think to the great synagogue in Johannesburg, and by many Jewish causes he supported throughout his life. So,
why do you think it's important that South African Jews today preserve and engage with his heritage?
I think he was such a pivotal figure in the history of the country. There's a very fine book written on it by Richard Mendelssohn, Sammy Marks, the Uncrowned King of the Transvaal, which really outlines the extent of his contribution. And he was one of the, I think he was just as a kind of a pioneer of the great East European influx makes him important. The fact that he was also a very committed member of the Jewish community, a very patriotic South African. He really tried to give as much as he could. I can add, by the way, our small claim to fame is that my great-great-grandfather died round about the same time as him. So he's buried alongside Sammy Marks's tomb. It's a very ornate kind of grave setting. It's a historical monument. It's about as close as our family came to the Marx Millions, but anyway.
And you tell me this at the end of the interview. I should perhaps interview you again and we can just chat about that. But thanks, Dave, for helping us connect the stones and stories of such an iconic site. Sammy Marks, as you say, wasn't just a businessman. He was a bridge between communities and also eras. And his house, I believe, still speaks volumes for our heritage. That's David Sachs, former Associate Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and author of many books and articles on South African Jewish history.